Well, we all know Oregon plays their spring game next weekend. Little did we know, Oregon State's sneaking up on us. They got a game tomorrow.
They
down
go first.
In they go first.
Yeah.
They are this weekend, and joining us now is our good buddy, Ryan Clark of the Oregonian, covering the Beavs.
Longtime beat writer.
Longtime Beaver beat writer. At Ryan T. Clark on Twitter, you go give him a follow. Ryan, this snuck up on us. Is it a game? Is it a scrimmage? It is a practice? What do we know about what's going on in Corvallis tomorrow?
Holy crap!
Well, it snuck up on me a little bit, too, guys. I'm filling in here for Nick Daschle on the Beavers beat for the next few months. So it's surprise for me too, but look, it's coming up tomorrow. I'm looking like it's going to be some good live action for Beavers fans to take in over in Corvallis and see some new faces, including Malik Murphy, who has been sort of the talk of the town, the big money Duke quarterback transfer. So it's going to be an interesting day tomorrow in Corvallis. Beautiful day too, should be weather-wise.
Yeah.
I know you haven't been on the beat that long as you fill in for Daschle here, but I'm just curious, in the time that you've spent, because we talked a little bit yesterday via text trying to get you on the show, of just the access is different, right? Like, you covered Oregon for a long time. The access is a little different at Oregon State. From the access you've gained, I'm just curious, even if it's just a week and a half, What is kind of your takeaway of what their messaging is about this team at this point of the offseason?
Yeah, I think the messaging has surrounded the strides that they've made. And, you know, we get good access at these practices. We can't report, obviously, on the details of everything that goes on necessarily,
right,
but we get to view the whole thing. And, I mean, right now down in Eugene, there's no practice viewing allowed at all during the spring, which is certainly a difference. But, you know, regardless of the complaints of small beat writers like myself, I think that, you know, the narrative you hear from a lot of folks around the Beavers is that it's night and day compared to last year by way of, you know, discipline, by way of the way that, you know, players are executing and communicating, and the attitude and honestly, frankly, the ground that they're standing on as a program. There was a lot more uncertainty this time last year than there is now. The NIL market is out of control in multiple sports, but that, you know, seems to be, I guess, less of a problem in football for the Beavers compared to maybe other sports like men's basketball, where you see them shedding players left and right. They've spent the money on the football roster, and it seems like they've built a pretty complete group.
We're talking with Ryan Clark of the Oregonian, at Ryan T. Clark on Twitter, covering Oregon State. Their spring game is tomorrow down at Corvallis. You mentioned Murphy and the attention that he will get. Unquestionably, the biggest storyline probably around the team this spring is just having a competent quarterback and what it does to their chances in 2025. As you're down there talking to coaches, seeing what's going on, who are the other names that are standing out that I think fans would be eager to maybe get their first look at, or guys who are maybe expected to take a big jump from last year to this year?
Yeah, I think the excitement is around Murphy for sure. You know, Jabari Johnson is competing, and they're still using the it's a competition thing with the quarterback position. Obviously, they haven't officially named Malik Murphy the starter, but he will be. Mm-hmm. I could see Jabari getting some looks just because of his versatility and you know, his speed and athleticism as well. But, you know, in terms of the guys that Malik would throw to, Darius Clemens, a fellow Westview alum, shout out to the Wildcats. Trent Walker, obviously coming back. He's a Beaverton guy. Zachary Card is someone, though, that in the practices that I've viewed, his speed has been incredible to watch. He's made huge plays. He's caught passes along the sideline. He's not just a burner. You know, he's somebody that could make a breakthrough this year. And the tight end position, I think, on offense has been the one that has stood out the most so far. Jackson Bowers, the BYU transfer, and then Riley Williams, the Miami transfer. Both of those guys come in big, strong guys, soft hands. They've been favorite targets of Malik Murphy so far in these, you know, live actions that we've gotten to see. So, you know, Riley Williams, a Central Catholic guy as well, so a good connection there. So the offense has plenty of weapons, I think, for Malik Murphy to throw to. We'll see how the offensive line shapes out. Defensively, the secondary is built out with really long, athletic guys. The size of the secondary is something you really notice when you stand on the sideline, and that's something that they're hoping can counteract perhaps a lack of speed in that area. But Inside linebackers led by Makaya Tung, who comes back from a devastating knee injury in 2023. He's a guy that used to play wide receiver and is now playing inside linebacker, and just had made the transition to that position before he injured basically every ligament in his knee in 2023. He's back after that long recovery, and the defensive line, you've got transfers coming in. Tajay Mullix from Western Carolina is a guy people are excited about on the interior. He's been banged up in spring. And then Nico Taylor coming back on the edge. This Oregon State pass rush was terrible last year. They will admit that. They were dead last in the country with 7 sacks all season last year. And for those who have been following both of our state's teams, Oregon had 10 sacks in the UW game alone. So that is a significant area of improvement for the Beavs. And seems like they're going to.
Yeah, I read your piece on the tight ends. I thought it was really good. It kind of, Oregon State's been underrated in terms of they've usually had pretty solid tight end play. So it looks like they're kind of getting back to that. And we know that quarterbacks, especially when they're under duress and they got that pressure, they love to dump off to a tight end who will find like maybe a hole in the defense somewhere. So very interesting with the tight ends. I am curious though, offensively in general, they sucked. I mean, just point blank, they were garbage last year. A lot of games where I'm watching them play and I'm like, what is the offense at this point? But it's also hard to have an offense when your quarterback's a question mark. And that's kind of what it was last year. And so Murphy building off of a good year at Duke, we'll see what he's going to end up doing this year. What has Ryan Gunderson talked about, or what have you heard about the expectations of offenses? They have these tight ends, they've got returning targets, the running back situation should be fine. What is the expectation offensively for them given where it was last year?
Yeah, I mean, the expectation is for profound improvement, right? I mean, it gets it doesn't get much worse than maybe it was in some of those stretches last year. They feel though like the solidity at the quarterback position, having a player like Malik Murphy, not just someone who has proven capable but is thoroughly experienced and brings that level of ease to the position, is going to be arguably the biggest factor, because they feel like they have weapons, they feel like they have guys for him to throw to, they feel like the running back position is really solid. Obviously any program is going to try to spin what they have as a good thing, a positive thing, and on the way to improvement. But I think objectively, you look at their roster and they are poised, I think, to make strides on offense and to be a team that isn't so woeful as they often were last year with the ball in their hands.
Last one for you, Ryan. We had a listener earlier saying, I just wondering if you could confirm this, that the game will not be on TV. Is there any way to watch it? Do you know the answer to that?
Not yet. I am not 100% sure about the streaming info or TV info, but my understanding is there isn't one as of right now.
I'm going to ask you, Ryan, a kind of an open-ended one. I'm kind of putting you in a spot here a little bit. I know, you haven't been on the beat that long. The conference, the uncertainty of the media rights, the adding of a team or maybe not adding of a team, what are the vibes like when you go to Corvallis right now? They had a very underwhelming first season with Bray. What are the vibes in general like?
In general, I mean, being around the football program, of course, there's these looming giant things out in the distance. And I mean, they're right at home for the Beavers, who are directly affected by so much of this. But compared to maybe some of the challenges that Oregon State's other sports teams are facing, it feels relatively normal. It feels like a normal spring with a positive attitude maybe in general, but I guess a little bit of nervousness, wondering what's going to happen with obviously realignment, what the NIL landscape is going to look like. Obviously Oregon State's athletic director is pushing hard for the house settlement to get wrapped up and completed, and hoping to avoid any state laws like the one that may run counter to the house settlement that's potentially going to pass here in Oregon, but trying to get a piece of federal legislation on that front is a big focus for Scott Barnes and all the folks that are interested. they're trying to level the playing field and trying to calm down this insane roller coaster that, quite frankly, you know, athletic programs like Oregon State can't really sustain staying on. They don't want this to be the way things are forever. For the NIL payments for basketball players to be double their total budget for the entirety of a season, like one player getting $1.6 million and their whole budget for men's basketball being $800,000, like that's not sustainable. And so, you know, the football program, I think, is in a more solid place because it has not only more resources dedicated to it, but just in general feels more solid. But everything else swirling around it affects so many different facets of what they're trying to do down in Corvallis.
Yeah, interesting times. Hopefully there's a way we get some feedback on it. We'll have to read your reporting on it if we can't watch it on TV. Oregon State spring game tomorrow. Ryan Clark covering the Beavs temporarily for the Oregonian, one of our favorites, at Ryan T. Clark on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Enjoy the game this weekend. Should be great weather, and let's do this again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.